to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone. This is Joanna Penn from The Creative Pen, and this is a Happy Holidays podcast. I'm recording this just before Christmas, as I'm heading back to my family in England next week, and then I'm off to Italy for New Year. I'll be freezing amongst the ruins and art galleries of Europe, which will be wonderful. I'm really looking forward to a break, but I wanted to get a podcast out in the meantime, so you'll have something to listen to while I'm away, and hopefully have some time over the holidays to listen to it. So I did a survey on the blog last week, and many people asked questions about writing their first book. In fact, most of the people who read my blog are in the process of writing their first book or a book. So I understand many of the questions you're asking and how you're feeling. So I wanted to share this interview with you as I answer many of those questions during the interview. The interview is done by Lenore Miller for the Great Book Challenge, and I'll link to that in the show notes. And in the interview, I talk about how I started writing, how to overcome your blocks, the psychology of writing, what's important for structuring, for research, and a whole lot more. You know, the answers to a lot of the most basic sort of questions you have when you first started writing a book. And please do send me any other questions you have, and I will answer them on the blog or in subsequent podcasts in 2010. I'm very keen to try and keep a two-way conversation going, so I you know, give you information that you actually need. So in other news, I did NaNoWriMo. I'm sure, you know, if you've been looking at the blog, you'll see I didn't make 50,000 words. I made just over 20,000, which I'm quite happy with, and I've actually started the novel. So I'm committing to finishing the novel in 2010. The working title is Mandala, and it's a thriller, and the character is a paranormal psychologist. It's very exciting, lots of violence, blowing up and that type of thing. You know, it's a popular novel. It is not literary fiction. I've also joined the Queensland Writers' Centre Year of the Novel to keep me focused on that, and I'll share what's happening during the year. And I'm also going to try for the traditional publishing route with that one before I then start podcasting that novel as well as some other things. So exciting times. I'm also doing a lot of speaking, and I'm in negotiations about a writer's retreat in Bali, which is very exciting, and I'll let you know how that turns out. It will be open to the public. So if anyone's interested in coming to Bali and spending probably 4 days with me learning all sorts of things, then, you know, let me know. Send me an email or tweet me or something. Okay, well, on with the interview, and you have a happy holiday and a happy new year to come, and good luck with your writing in 2010. So here's the show.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world listening to this. My name's Lenore Miller, and I'm from thegreatbookchallenge.com. And with me this morning is Joanna Penn from The Creative Pen, Penn with a double N, and she's here today to share her wealth of knowledge about writing books. Good morning, Joanna. How are you?
Morning. Thank you so much for having me on the call. This is a topic I love to talk about, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, so you're the perfect guest. That's great. I knew you would be. So thanks for being with us. Joanna, first, I'd love it if you could just tell us a little bit about what inspired you to become a writer.
Okay. Well, I guess first up, I should say I've now written 3 non-fiction books. So I'm currently a non-fiction author, but I am writing my first novel at the moment. So just to give people a bit of a background there. And I always wanted to be a writer. I was one of those kids who dragged books around all the time. I read like a maniac. You know, I read all my life, and I'm actually living in Australia now, but I'm British, and I've shipped my library all the way from England to New Zealand and now to Australia. And, you know, I just love books. And so therefore, I always thought, you know, I wanted to be a writer. It was this romantic dream for me, you know, to be a writer. But I spent a lot of time kind of hamstrung by the fact that I thought I had to be a literary fiction writer, like someone like Umberto Eco, or, you know, somebody who wins prizes. And I sort of hamstrung myself around that, you know, in that, in my head, I could never be that good. I could never write the books that I love to read. And therefore, in terms of becoming a writer, you know, even though I wrote a lot for years, it was only at the age of 33 that I actually said, you know, I have to actually write this book. You know, I've been talking about it for so long. You know, I've said I've wanted to do it for years. I'd taken time off and failed many times, and finally just said, you know, I actually have to do it. So in terms of inspiration, I guess it was something I always wanted to do. And I think many people who want to write a book have, you know, have always felt in some way they wanted to do that. And I guess my mission of my website, thecreativepen.com, is to help people, you know, release that book and actually write it. So I'm trying to help other people be inspired.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you say, you know, you always had that book within you, because I know I've wanted to write a book for a really long time, and I guess it's getting to the point where you have the belief that you can do it and you're willing to actually put yourself out there on the line and start writing it. Mm. Because, you know, I guess, you know, what I'm finding is it's much more of a stretch than I'd imagined. You know, it's stretching me in many directions, and particularly that thing where you start going, wow, I really have this commitment to write, you know, 100,000 words or, you know, whatever it is that you've decided to do, and all of a sudden it just stretches like this huge task in front of you.
Mm.
How do you cope with that? Because I know that you've written more than one book, and you're just starting to write a novel, and I think your goal is to write 150,000 words for that. So how do you cope with the psychology of looking at that project stretching out in front of you?
Mm. Well, I guess, you know, one of the things I tell people is that writing is a journey, and a whole life journey, you know, and journaling yourself and that type of thing. So writing is a journey, but a book is a goal. So you actually have to treat your writing a book as a proper goal, you know, a goal in the same way you would say, I need to save a house deposit. You know, that's another big goal that can take a long time. You know, it's a kind of, to write a book, you need to set out timelines. So you need to say, and this was very important for me with my first book. So I decided finally I was going to write this book in April 2007. And then I basically said, I want to hold it in my hands on my birthday next year. And my birthday's in March. So I was like, okay, in March next year, in March 2008, I will hold my book in my hands. So then I worked back from that, you know, worked out that I needed to, you know, have it sort of have it printed at a certain date, and therefore I needed it to be with an editor on a certain date. And as I worked back, I realized I had to get a first full draft done, you know, within a sort of 3 month time. And I was working full time, you know, like all of us, there's never enough time to do these things. So I think my biggest tip for people who actually are looking at this project as, you know, uncontrollable is set that, you know, treat it as a goal and set a time frame to your goal. So I know you said 8 weeks, Lenore, but you know, sometimes 8 weeks might be a good amount of time for a first draft, depending on how much time you have available. I think my first draft originally took me around 6 months, working evenings and weekends and whenever I could, you know, scratch a moment to spare. And then obviously there's a whole editing and rewriting process, which we, you know, probably talk a bit about later. Yeah, and then break it down. So I think breaking it down is much easier for non-fiction. So, for example, you can write your table of contents and then fill in the blanks, you know. Or if you're writing, like you, I guess it's a more of a memoir thing, you can write down, you know, chapter things you're going to cover in each chapter, and then tackle those and break it down into, okay, I have to finish that chapter within the next 3 weeks, you know, and then I'll move on to the next chapter. And then for fiction, which I'm now starting to write and only now really sort of understanding how writing fiction unfolds, having a vague outline is actually really good as well. And this is something I've learned having started National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo, which is it's much better to have this structure, at least a one-pager of, you know, this is my character, they move here, this is what happens, then this happens, then this happens, you know, the end type of thing. And then again, you just kind of fill in those, yeah, fill in those chapters. So yeah, so definitely setting goals and then also that kind of structuring helps to break down the massive you know, thing that's in your head, and also just getting words on the page. You'd be surprised how much writing you can actually get done if you even just do 500 words, you know, a day, or, you know, every couple of days. Make sure you get your word count done. You will get there.
It's interesting that you're talking about, there's a few things that have come up there, and, you know, one is, you know, my thought that I was going to write my first draft in 8 weeks, which, you know, I'm looking at it going, I didn't factor in how much else needed to be done around getting prepared for that book, because this is the first time I've done it, but also how much other things in life get in the way, you know, like my normal business and my family, and so that's been interesting, and just being in allowance of readjusting that expectation, because for me it's about, well, I've started, which is fantastic, and if it's not in 8 weeks, if it takes 6 months or 2 years, it's okay because I've started.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
The other thing that I found is, because I read your book, From Idea to Book, and that was really helpful to me, and so I started, that helped me to flesh out a structure. What I'm finding now that I'm writing, Joanna, is that while I've got the structure, now I'm into it, I'm going, I'm not really sure it's totally going to work for me, and I need to reorganize that. Is that something that that's happened?
Oh, absolutely. It's great that you say that, because I think having a structure helps you start, and starting is great, you know, and you might write a couple of those chapters, or as a fiction author, you know, you might start that arc of the plot, and then you find that it goes in a completely different direction, and you're like, that's interesting. And what I found is, really, after my, I think it was my third draft of my first book, which was How to Enjoy Your Job, and it was, you know, about changing your life and changing your career, I really discovered, you know, towards the third draft, that I needed to restructure the whole thing. And it was like, oh my goodness, that changes the slant of the whole book. But it's kind of like, as you do it, you discover new things. And I'm finding with my fiction novel that the things I thought were going to happen as I'm writing, it's changing. And this character is doing stuff, you know, that I wasn't expecting. And you, as you write the things in your head, other things come up. So absolutely, that's part of the process. And that planning at the beginning, that is not, you have to stick to this type of thing. It is a guide to get you going. And then absolutely, you change direction. And one of the really good things to do is, when you've got a decent draft, so maybe you're, you know, it depends how many drafts you're doing, but get a friend, someone in your target market maybe, to read it and say, and ask them, what's missing? What, you know, how does it flow? Because regardless whether it's fiction or nonfiction, it needs to draw people through the book. You know, how does it flow? Is it missing anything? Is it in the right order? You know, and I got a lot of good feedback from people who were my target market telling me, well, I felt this was in the wrong place, and you assumed I knew this stuff, and I don't. And I added whole chapters, you know, quite late on in the process. So does that kind of help?
Yeah, it does, because, you know, like, you're absolutely right. I got the structure happening, and that really did help me start writing, because it gave me a bit of a flow to work with. And then I got about three chapters in and went, oh, okay, now it's not really flowing the way I want it to, and I've had to rework, you know, how I'm going to go forward. Have you ever found that you've gotten to a point, because I kind of got to a point where I felt a bit stuck, like I just wasn't sure where to go next.
Yeah, okay, well, getting stuck is, yeah, I mean, okay, that's an interesting topic. And, you know, a lot of people talk about being blocked or stuck or whatever. And the thing I say is, get out and go and fill your brain again. And I know your story is a personal one, but that doesn't mean you can't fill your brain with other people's ideas. So it's all about standing on the shoulders of giants, is what I think. You know, everybody gets ideas from everywhere else, and your human experience, you know, will have similarities with other people's human experience. So what I did when I was writing How to Enjoy Your Job is I read probably 50 other books on career change, on you know, human resource issues, because it was about why people hate their jobs and how they can change their life for the better, basically, which is what I was trying to do. And so instead of trying to just mine my own brain for all the information, I went and studied different books. And if you're writing fiction, you can read other fiction in your area. So I'm reading a lot of thrillers at the moment, you know, getting ideas. And of course, this isn't plagiarism. You're not copying bits out of their books and putting them in your book. But what you might be doing is, you know, you might read a book by someone who's gone through something similar or had, you know, for you personally, like a big life change, something that's happened. And you might just write some notes as you're reading that book that spark ideas in your head. And then you might say, okay, look, I'm just going to write a piece. It doesn't have to go in my book. I'm just going to write something, how I feel about the way this person has done it, and you'll find that other ideas come to you. And the other one I say to people, and this is completely kind of left field, is go to a modern art gallery or a photography exhibition or something that, and I mean, I'm a very visual person. Maybe you're, if you're musical, go to a concert or do something that inspires your brain in a different way, and you'll find that new ideas will come to you. Does that make sense?
It does. If you were here, I'd hug you right now. because what I decided to do was start reading other people's books.
Mm. Well, that's good.
And I was wondering about the sensibility of that. And it was, and one was around how other people had tackled, just as you said, writing books around life-changing experiences. But the other reason was I'm really searching for, I guess, permission to write in my own style.
Mm.
So I want to read a variety of books with different styles so that, as I said, it kind of gives me permission to write in my style, not in any one specific formula, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that's very important for people to remember is, you know, you're writing your book, you're not writing somebody else's book. So even if it's the same topic that has been covered millions of times, it's still your story. You know, my book on career change, hell, you know, there's so many books on career change, but it was my story and my voice and my style, and the same with yours and the same with the listeners. So yeah, the giving yourself permission to write is a huge deal. You know, you really just have to be confident that you have something to say in your own voice, and that that's really important. And there's a quote I actually wanted to mention by Seth Godin, who's like a big sort of internet marketer and author on nonfiction author. He says, the book that you will write will change your life. And I just love that. It's, you know, your book will change your life. Even if you're writing it to help other people, it will actually change your life in the process of you writing it. And even if nobody buys a single copy, it's worth doing it, you know, in order to change your life and change your confidence. So yeah, please give yourself permission to write what you feel.
And that's great. And what I want to do also at the moment is remind people who are listening in on the call live at the moment that are on the webinar. I can see you out there. If you want to send through questions for me to ask Joanna, or it's bringing some things up, or you've got some comments, please just send those through, and we'll incorporate those in the call so you get your questions answered as well. So that's a really great point, because I think we were talking just before the call started about, you know, writing a book being a journey, and for me, it certainly is a journey. It's a journey, one, you know, it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. I'm having lots of learning experiences along the way, even down to being flexible and willing to adjust. You know, you set a goal, then you realise that's not very realistic, or that you've headed off in another direction and you need, you know, you're needing to read multiple other books.
Mm.
And when you're doing that, it cuts into the time you'd plan to write, and so it's having that flexibility, and you get to learn a whole lot about yourself. So what kind of things do you think are some of the most important lessons that you've had in your writing career to date?
Oh, okay, well, I think...
That you'd like to
share,
of course.
I mean, oh gosh, there's so many. And I think, well, the reason I started the creativepen.com, you know, my blog, is to share everything I'm learning. And basically, I'm like a learning machine. I love, love, love learning. I read so many books and I'm doing all this myself, but I just want to tell other people about it. So everything that I learn, I now put on my blog. So if people are interested, they can go there. But in terms of the big things, one, I guess the thing that I learned is that I can do it. So my first book, How to Enjoy Your Job, took me, so just shy of a year. I didn't actually hold it in my hands on my birthday. It was 3 weeks later, and it was for sale on Amazon.com by the middle of April 2008, and that was my kind of target. So, you know, even though I was a few weeks late, like you said, I wouldn't have made it otherwise. So I think understanding that I can actually write a book is one thing I've learned, and then I wrote two more very quickly, which are about the writing and publishing and marketing thing. In terms of learning about writing, I'm going through a whole new journey right now with fiction, because I still certainly don't consider my craft of writing to be very good at all right now. But I just did an interview yesterday with a brilliant author, Mer Lafferty, who told me that it's okay to suck. So, you know, it's okay to suck, you know, and the sentences I'm writing are just positively awful, you know, really terrible stuff. But I'm on my first draft. So I would say also to people, remember that the stuff you're writing first up is a first draft. So you can write a load of crap. You can write, you know, for me, my protagonist is Morgan. You know, Morgan went into the study, you know, because you can't think of a better way to write it right now. It doesn't matter. Your first draft is to get your stuff out of you. So the first draft of How to Enjoy Your Job was just a mishmash of ideas and random sentences and, you know, snippets of my diaries. And it was a mess, you know, and it took probably, I wrote about 7 drafts of that before I sent it to an editor, and I paid for a professional editor. So another lesson learned is that your drafts can be absolutely crap, but if you go through the editing and rewriting process, you will come out with a better product. So that was something I had to learn, because I thought that writers sat down and perfect sentences came out of their pens, you know, but they don't, and that doesn't happen for anybody. So if you're sitting there and your sentence is crap, don't worry about it, you know, come back to it later. So I guess that's another big thing. I don't know if we're going to talk a bit about...
I want to send you another big virtual...
Oh, good.
Stuff. It's like I write and think I have to make it perfect. And, you know, I go over it and over it and I think, oh, no, and then I'll just write a whole heap of mishmash stuff. And it feels so good just to let that flow and get it all out and pretty it up later. Mm. And I'm wondering, because we've got a great bunch of questions from Lisa in Brisbane, and I'm thinking we might have almost covered it in what you've said spontaneously anyway. But Lisa says, what if you have too much to say? How do you make sure you don't waffle and get thoughts across clearly? How do you know when to stop?
Oh,
yeah. When is enough enough?
Yeah.
And what's relevant and what's not?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. And definitely something that some people struggle with. You know, some people struggle with not having enough, and other people have masses. So definitely, if you can definitely write too much, that's absolutely fine. And Stephen King, in his brilliant book on writing, talks about your second draft is first draft minus 10%. You know, your third draft is second draft minus 10%. So every time you do another draft, you are cutting stuff. And it's very important for somebody who's writing too much or is waffling is to get either a professional editor or a proofreader or somebody else who doesn't care about you. So it's not your mom, it's not your husband or your wife or, you know, your best friend. That's why I paid somebody, you know, I got a copywriter and I got an editor to read my book and say, this line is crap. You know, even if you really, really love the story of you and your mom on this beach or whatever, it's not appropriate for this book. This is wrong. So you need to be able to go through and slash out things that just don't fit. And then I have another friend who's writing a book about, you know, customers and, you know, helping your customers. And when she came to talk to me, we had a coaching session, and I said, you know, you've got 3 books here and you need to decide which information goes in which book. So maybe I think it was Lisa. Maybe that's, you know, what Lisa's got there is, you know, too much information. So maybe there are multiple books, and that's absolutely fine. In fact, that's brilliant. But what you have to do is make sure you write the first one first. Otherwise, you're going to get completely snowed under. So, so there's a couple of tips there. One is definitely use an editor and slash big chunks out. You know, try and, make your sentences shorter, and also, get someone to read it and cut out some of the things that you might love, but just don't serve your book.
That's great advice. I recently saw Andrew Griffith speak, and Andrew is an Australian business writer and has 10 books published. And he talked about when he looks back at his first draft of his first book or first manuscript that he sent off to the publisher, how awful it was. And he said, I just wasn't a good writer. And his comment was, I didn't need to be a good writer. I just needed a good editor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and the people...
that bears out what you're saying. Now, that's answering the question of what if you've got too much. what if you're the person struggling to get enough words together so it's all looking a bit lean? When you then say the first edit takes 10% out and the next edit takes 10% out, it's like maybe you don't have enough for a book. So
yeah.
What advice do you have for people who don't feel like they're very prolific?
Okay, well then again, there's a couple of answers. One is your topic worthy of a whole book? And should it be maybe a, if it's fiction, like a novella or a short story? If it's a non-fiction piece, maybe you would consider, putting it on your blog as multiple blog posts and attracting people using that information and then seeing where it goes. And I guess the other answer would be back to, when I told you to read other books, is research your area and also follow other blogs. This is something that, I think authors who are just getting into the internet kind of scene, there are millions of blogs out there now on all kinds of topics. So go find people in your niche that you're writing on. So either, people who are writing in your genre, or people who are, if you're nonfiction, specifically people who are writing on that topic. Go and read the blogs, go and see what people are talking about in that industry, and, pick up ideas from these places, and you will find stuff to say. But if you really are struggling on word count, it may be that perhaps that isn't a full-length book. But then, I say that, but on the other hand, a book that's just come out is Gary Vaynerchuk's Crush It. I don't know if you've heard of that. Fantastic book, but it's extremely thin. I can't think that this book is more than 35,000 words, and yet it's kind of an Amazon bestseller, a non-fiction book. And if anyone's interested in, marketing and learning how to market on the internet, it's a very good book. That's Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. So you can still have a book that's 35,000 words, but, it has to be what you have to look at how much you're going to sell it for and all of that type of stuff. So does that answer the question?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, and we've just had a message through from Lisa saying thank you so much.
Oh, good.
So for answering her question. So that's great. I'm glad that we're able to cover that off for Lisa. So I guess, we've talked about what if you've got too much information, what if you've got not enough. And we talked a little bit about researching. So one of the things, earlier you mentioned that, when you're writing your book, there might be a bazillion books out there on exactly the same topic, but you're going to write it in your voice and from your perspective. And so what I'm wondering, because I've heard a few conflicting things about researching your book, like some people saying, well, have you researched whether there's going to be a market for your book? And no, I didn't. I just decided it was a book that was within me that I wanted to write. So how important do you think it is to find the researching of the, what's your approach to that? Do you go have a look whether there's a market for the book you're going to write, or do you just decide to write?
Yeah. I think there's two opposite ways of looking at it. One is write the book that's on your heart, which is what you're doing. It's what I did with my first book, How to Enjoy Your Job. And then there's the other way, which is write a book for a market in order to make some money or, serve a need or whatever. And that's a kind of, probably more of a business mindset, it's like for somebody perhaps who already has a business, who's writing a book for their customers or so, there are many things there. But what I would say is after I wrote How to Enjoy Your Job, I had learned so much about writing and publishing and sales and promotion and internet stuff that I wrote the next two books, From Idea to Book and From Book to Market, in order to serve a specific need, which was all the people I saw and I met and talked to who needed to know this information in order to save them time and money, because I'd spent too much time and too much money making all these mistakes and I wanted to share it. But I knew there was a market there. I mean, I know that there are people who want to write books. So I knew that if I started a blog, I have another blog, which is at howtoenjoyyourjob.com, which I don't enjoy really writing on. I don't really use it for much. I still put stuff on it occasionally, but it's not my love, the Creative Pen serves a real community need. So I've actually done both, I guess. I wrote specifically these two books in order to serve the market that I have on my blog. Whereas the first one was a heart book. But obviously, so I think people can do it both ways. I think maybe you need to keep in mind what your end goal is. For example, if you want to write a book in order to become very wealthy, then, you know, you have to look at, do a lot of research into sales and marketing and how you're actually going to make money from that book. But most people aren't doing it that way. Most people are writing because, you know, they have a heart need to write. So, but I think both are valid. Absolutely.
And I guess if you come back to that, if it's a good book, that's a good quality read and has a great message, whatever that is, then I'm thinking with the right PR and marketing, you can find your market for that book. Because if I look at my bookshelf, I have lots and lots of books, and often on very similar topics.
That's exactly right. And I think the scariest thing if you're writing a book is if there are no other books on your topic, because that would suggest there isn't a market for it. But you're right. I mean, when I was writing my career change book, I bought a lot of those 50 books and read a lot more at the library. And you buy, and now I have stacks of books on writing. You know, you read what you're interested in and you write what you're interested in. So, you know, that's definitely right. You can definitely find that market. And I don't know if we're going to get on to marketing, but definitely start a blog. I recommend it to everybody now, even if you're writing fiction. It's excellent for writing practice. It's excellent for building a market, and it really helps you have a place to. I guess it's your online platform where you can sell your book from where it's finished. And that's a mistake I made with my first book. Was I wrote it, I got rejected from publishers, so I self-published it, and then I went, oh, now how do I sell it, you know? And but with now I have my blog and, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all these things. If you build that up at the same time as writing your book, the market will already be there when you finished, basically.
Cool. So you start working with that social media in the meantime that you're writing your book. And is that something that you cover? I've only read your first book so far, sorry, from idea to book. But the second book that you've got...
Yes, from book to market.
About the marketing side of it. Yeah, do you cover...
Yes, I basically
stuff about social media marketing. And that.
Yes, I basically what I did is I split it into two books because it was all one book. It was one very long book, and then I realised that people are at different points in their journey, and that from idea to book helps people who are just starting to write their first book, and from book to market is all about sales and promotion. And the people who read it who hadn't even written a book yet were just scared silly. You know, they were like, oh, my God, I need to do all this stuff. And I'm like, well, you do. But if you haven't written a book yet, then get that done first. But once you have decided and you're writing and maybe, you know this is going to happen this time, then having a blog, having, you know, your social networking, having a look at where you're going to sell your book, having a marketing plan, how to do promotion in, you know, in the newspaper and radio and all of this stuff is what I cover in that second book. And what I also spend a lot of time now on the Creative Pen talking about, because it's one of the biggest problems now, especially with the changes in publishing, that publishing companies want authors who can sell, who are basically out there making connections, getting online, you know, eyeballs to their websites. And you're far more likely to get a publishing deal, you know, if there are two good authors with good books. The one who already has a blog and has, you know, followers on Twitter and Facebook will more likely get a deal than the other one. And if you're self-publishing, you have to have this stuff. You know, you have to, because no one's going to know about your book otherwise. But, this call's more about writing. I just want to, for everyone to keep in mind, what is your end point and what is, you know, why are you writing? If you are writing in order to sell your books at the end of it, you do need some kind of plan for that to happen.
And that's a really good idea for another call.
Yes.
Another day.
Yes, I think
can,
so.
you know, organise so that we can talk a bit more about that. What was that, sorry?
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's a massive topic all of its own. And so, yeah, let's just stick to the writing today. But definitely people should just keep that in mind, you know, what their end point is.
Excellent. So I'm just trying to think, where are we going to go next now, Joanna? What's your top of mind thoughts from here?
Well, I have a big thing about the psychology of writing and how you feel when you're writing a book. And I just wanted to mention this. I'm sounding quite confident on this call now. You know, I sound like I know what I'm talking about, and I do. But when I was writing my first book, I was so underconfident about what I was writing that I would literally burst into tears with fright when people would say, "Oh, what are you writing about?" You know, and the fear of failure and the fear of people laughing at me and being embarrassed and saying it's terrible was huge. It was massive for me, and it stops a lot of people actually writing. And so I wanted to kind of tackle that because, fear will stop you unless you break through it. And I think that the fear of what might happen is actually worse than when it does happen. So when somebody said to me, "Do you know, I don't like your book," by then I was like, okay, well, it's not for you then, you know. And obviously that everyone doesn't like the same stuff, so not everyone is going to like your book. But that was a very scary thing for me. And the one thing that I also helped me was doing affirmations. I'm not a huge kind of woo-woo law of attraction type person, but I do believe in affirmations. And I would say to myself on the way to the train every morning, and this was before I had written anything really, I would say, "I am creative, I am an author." Just those two things, because I'm actually an IT consultant by trade. That's my day job. You know, I work on computers, and, you know, I didn't feel I was creative. So I started to say, "I am creative. I am an author," which was so hard to say. You know, if you're sitting there thinking, "Oh my God, I can't say that," try and say it out loud. And if you don't believe it, it's very hard to say. So I thought, I'll just keep saying it until I believe it. And I think I said that, you know, for like 6 months before I started to feel creative. And within about 6 months after that, I started my business, which is The Creative Pen. And I would never have done that until I changed my psychology of my head to think that I am creative. And then saying I am an author before it actually happened enabled me to believe that it could happen and kind of released me from all of these fears. And I'm making it sound very mystical. It wasn't, you know, you can imagine me traipsing to the train every morning saying this, you know, under my breath, you know, in my head. But that really, really helped me. So I want to encourage people who are afraid and who are worried about people laughing at them or whatever. You will get through that. And affirmations definitely helped me.
That's a really great point of really getting your head straight about where it is that you're going. And I'm interested that you say that you burst into tears with fright when people asked you about your book, because one of the things that's happening, because I, you know, took up a challenge and I'm being followed in our local newspaper, I have people stop me when I grocery shop saying, "Oh, you're writing a book," and wanting to engage me about it. And it's something that I hadn't anticipated when I took up the challenge. You know, you just don't think forward. Mm. Well, I didn't think forward about the consequences of that. And I find it really confronting because, you know, they just get you in a time when you're focused on something else, and it's like, I don't really want to talk about the detail of my book writing in the middle of the supermarket. So how do you, you know, there are some people who say they don't believe they should talk about their book while they're writing it. They should keep it all close to their chest. And there are others that, like me, who crazily go and put their photo in the paper saying they're writing a book. But what's your view about that? Do you talk about the next book you're writing or in detail, or do you just keep it to yourself? Mm. What's your feeling?
Well, there's a great quote by, I think it's Maeve Binchy, who's, Irish writer of women's sort of fiction. And she says that writing is a bit like going on a diet. You should either tell everyone or no one. You know, because then if you go off the diet, then people laugh at you and take the piss, you know, whereas if you tell everyone, you're kind of, it keeps you on track. So there's definitely these two polar opposites. Now, I also have I have a little graph that I do about the criticism and praise. You know, when you say I'm writing a book, many people will criticize you, or at least you feel criticized. You know, they'll say, "Oh, you're writing a book," you know, or whatever. And you, by putting yourself out there, particularly, you've kind of invited people to comment on what you're doing, positively or negatively, because lots of people want to write a book and that therefore they're interested. And I think when I first started, I hardly told anybody because I was so scared, as I said. But now with this fiction, I'm out there in public. You know, I've committed to doing NaNoWriMo on my blog. I put a video up on my first day. I'm putting my word count up on the internet so people can see how many words I'm writing. You know, I'm doing this very much in public, and I've committed to the people who are now following my own, you know, career, I guess, as a writer. You know, I will have to get something out of this, you know, within the next probably 6 months. I'll need to at least tell people what's happening with that novel and follow it through. So I'm definitely of a, it's got to be one or the other, and it's a personal choice. But yeah, beware of telling everybody, because it definitely puts the pressure on, and you'd be surprised how many people are interested in you writing your book. But what I would say is, as it actually happens, and you know, you get towards the end, and you know, people will be interested, and they will praise you as well as criticize you. And sometimes the biggest criticism will come from your family and your friends, because you're spending a lot of time on it, or you're changing as a person, and that is really hard. But you know, hold to that goal, and you'll make it through.
Really fascinating, because you know, as I said, I've, you know, put it way out there, you know, decided I'd, you know, take the challenge up, be in the paper, and now I'm writing about, you know, blogging about my book writing. And in some regards, what it's allowed me to do is move beyond my own limitations. Like, instead of going, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make my 8 weeks and have, you know, 50,000 words written or whatever it is, I just figure that I'm sharing a real journey, yes, with other people, and giving them permission to get started, mm, and allow it to show up however that is for them.
That's exactly right.
Some people might get in and get it done more quickly. Some people might be like me and go, oh my gosh, I didn't know how big a job this was, and I'm learning all these things that I didn't know, and oh gee, now I have to go and do a whole lot of other stuff I hadn't anticipated, so that eats into my writing time. I kind of figure I'm just going to be honest and lay it out there, and hope that that empowers other people to do the same. And also it keeps me moving. It keeps me accountable, because I'm telling people where I'm up to. And if I'm not doing anything, then I have to be honest about the fact that I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I would also say that with the change in the internet and marketing, which is more about telling your personal story, about connection, about, you know, people really relating to you as a person. You know, if you did an 8-week challenge and you got a fantastic book out in 8 weeks, people won't feel that they can connect with you as a person, because you're like some superhero. But, you know, if you're struggling and you're sharing what you're doing, and you're not just making it up and pretending that everything's all right, then they're going to connect with you. And people who connect with you are far more likely to buy your book. And people might think that's, you know, mercenary, but it's not. You know, you're writing a book in order to share a story that you believe will help other people, and therefore you want people to find your book later on. So if you connect with them over this, what you're going through, then, you know, they're more likely to be interested in what you're writing. So I absolutely think people should be real and honest on their blogs, and, you know, in their social networks, because we all have real life. I mean, I'm writing this novel in November, and I'm moving house next week, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to keep up with my word count, you know, as well as the day job and all the usual stuff. So yeah, I think sharing your real story is very important.
Yes, it's good. It kind of gives you permission just to lay it on the line and not have to be perfect, because who is really?
Exactly.
I'm not sure that there's any such thing. So we've probably only got a couple more minutes to round up, because I know that you've got things that you need to get on with for your day, and I'm sure our listeners have, although I could keep asking you questions for hours, I'm sure. So we've really covered quite a bit of ground about getting started and working on your psychology and really allowing the process, because really it's a bit of, as you said, writing a book is a journey, or the writing is a journey, but the book's the goal. Mm. So it's kind of that blend, isn't it, of the journey and getting to the end goal at the same time.
Yeah, and I think...
So I'm wondering whether there is... Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, really importantly, you know, from what we're talking about, that it being a goal, that persistence and discipline are actually really, really important. And I wanted to give you another quote from Stephen King's On Writing, which I really recommend to people. He says, talent is cheaper than table salt. What separates the talented individual from the successful one is a lot of hard work. So I just wanted to, you know, even though I'm saying to everyone, get out there, write your book, change your life, it is hard work, and but only hard work makes a goal worth it, basically. And no one achieves a big goal without some decently hard work. So I just wanted to remind people, you know, that it is a journey, but it, you know, you have to achieve that goal with some hard work, and you have to decide when you're finished. That's probably the thing we haven't mentioned, is at some point finish your book. I really hate hearing when people say, oh, I've been writing this book for the last 10 years. And I'm like, well, why don't you finish that book and write another one? You know, get that out of you, because 10 years is a long time. So you need to make sure you finish these book, you know, the book that you're talking about, and then you can move on to your next thing.
That's a really great point, because you can just keep going trying to make it perfect, or you can just get it out there.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be afraid of it not being perfect. I mean, Dan Brown's, you know, latest, there are typos in that. It's got some terrible bits. It's got bits straight out of Wikipedia. You know, it's you don't have to be perfect. Get your book out there, move on to the next one, because that momentum will really help you.
I guess I have one more question. My theory is that once I get the first book written and out there, then the next one won't feel so hard. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. You know, my first one took me ages. The second two I did very, very fast. Only took me a few months, but it was kind of everything I'd learned. And this novel I'm writing, you know, I would never have had even the confidence to start it without doing the other books. So that first book really releases you from everything that's been holding you back. And yeah, absolutely. I think the second one and onwards are easier, even if it's just psychological. I mean, you still have to put in the same hours writing and editing and everything, but it releases your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand. Look, it's been a fabulous call. As I said, I could keep asking you questions for hours, but I want to thank you for being with us today and sharing your information. There are links through from the Great Book Challenge through to your website, so people can go have a look around. You've got some great information there. They can go to thecreativepen.com, and that's where you'll find Joanna's books that we spoke about, from idea to book and from book to market. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you're all going to have a great writing week. And Joanna, thanks once again for being with us.
Oh, no, it's great to be here. And, yeah, people can connect with me through the website, or I'm also on Twitter at The Creative Pen. So, yeah, hopefully people will get in touch. Thanks for the call.
No worries. Oh, one thing I forgot to say, you actually provide coaching for people who want to write their book as well, don't you?
Yeah, I prefer to kind of call it consulting, because I'm not a very coach personality. I'll rev you up and give you lots of stuff and help you, and then I'll let you go off and do it. You know, I won't hold your hand along the way. I'll probably kick you up the arse. That's kind of my more approach. But yes, I do help individuals, and I can do that over the phone. So if anybody would, you know, do get in touch, that would be great.
Excellent. No worries. I just meant to mention that, and I wanted to make sure we added that in at the end of the call, because I'm sure sometimes people get a bit stuck or are not sure what to do next, and it'd be great to have someone experienced be able to guide you along that path. So thanks again. Have a fabulous day, and happy writing, everybody.
Thank you.
Gilroy 2.0 is here. Gilroy 2.0 is everywhere. Gilroy 2.0 will be everywhere. And John and Dr. Mike and Father Thomas and the psychopathic John Alpha, as the most popular podcast novel series in history, gets a reboot. Seventh Son Descent is in print now. The beta clones are back with new scenes, new set pieces for the print novel. The President of the United States is dead, murdered by a four-year-old boy, and it's up to John and the other beta clones to hunt the man behind the assassination, John Alpha.
to celebrate Seventh Son Descent's bookstore debut, author J.C. Hutchins, that's me, is releasing more clone-killing content at his website and beyond. An entirely new serialized podcast recording of Seventh Son Descent's print edition manuscript, serialized PDFs of the book, free music by John Smith, Seventh Son, 7 Days, a prequel anthology, and the full text of the novel, serialized at boingboing.net, all available now. Support the print debut of Seventh Son Descent. Learn more and download the free audiobook and other content at jchutchins.net and at podiobooks.com.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.